Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Now understand that when the Soviet Union fell in the early 1990s, Ukraine was left with the world's third largest stockpile of tactical nuclear weapons and strategic nuclear weapons on the planet. But they signed this agreement with the United States, the United Kingdom, and Russia, that basically said, if you give up your nuclear weapons, we, these three countries that signed to this, will provide for your defense and assure you of your defense. And so Ukraine did that. They gave up these weapons. Well, now, this was signed in 1994, 20 years later, one of the three countries that signed that agreement hasn't just not provided for their defense, they actually invaded them.
So this is now Secretary of State and then and longtime senator from Florida, Marco Rubio, speaking on the floor of the Senate about the invasion by Russia of Crimea in 2016. So this is prior, okay? This is, and was it 2016? I want to say, he's speaking here. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, it was prior. It was 2014. That's right. I knew that date didn't work because I was too close to the Trump administration. 2014, okay? So that would be under Obama. And you remember that was the first invasion of Ukraine where they took over the peninsula of Crimea, a strategically important part on the Black Sea. But what he's explaining is the big history around nuclear weapons in Ukraine, which is after the fall of the Soviet Union, they still had a ton of nuclear weapons. There's some interesting historical questions about whether Ukraine was actually able to use them or not because of some of the like the access codes and things. And I'm kind of out of my depth here, but I've read about it a little bit that it wasn't that Ukraine was suddenly a nuclear superpower. They just had possession of them. So it's not like they could necessarily use them, but, you know, maybe not better to have them just in possession of a bunch of nuclear weapons. So they signed this non-proliferation treaty or deproliferation treaty. They got rid of the nuclear weapons and Russia and Great Britain and the United States all agreed that we would, you know, nobody would invade Ukraine. Ukraine would be safe. Well, then flash forward 20 years and Russia invades Ukraine and the West was like, oh, darn, you shouldn't have. Wait, stop, don't. Yeah, like we did nothing. It was terrible. Which, of course, set the stage. And that, of course, followed the prior invasion of Georgia in territory that, under George W. Bush, in territory that still Russia to this day controls. So this is really the third territorial grab by Russia, this much more significant one in Ukraine. But that's not the reason Marco Rubio is making these comments. And I wanted to share this with you because this has suddenly become a very concerning potentiality in a dimension of global politics and global strategic defense that we haven't really had to think about for a long time, which is nuclear weapons. And not because Ukraine has them, but because of what could happen if the perception of nuclear deterrence by non-nuclear powers changes.
And I want to make a point on this for a second. Think about if you're one of these other countries around the world right now that feels threatened by your neighbors, and the United States and the rest of the world are going to you and saying, listen, don't develop nuclear weapons. Don't develop nuclear weapons, South Korea. Don't develop nuclear weapons, Japan. Don't develop nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia. We will protect you. We will watch out for you. What kind of lesson do you think this instance sends to them?
So there are a lot of countries who do not have nuclear weapons. And those countries don't need to have them because they feel or have been promised basically the protection of the nuclear umbrella or, you know, discouragement and or retaliation threat that comes from America having nuclear weapons and Britain and France, okay? We will protect you. We will keep the world order. If the bad actors of the world, China and Russia, decide to use their nuclear weapons, we retaliate, and therefore everybody's afraid of using nuclear weapons, so nobody else has to have them, right? Don't think too much about India and Pakistan. Don't think, you know, don't ask too many questions. North Korea, Israel, you know, unacknowledged, everybody believes, okay? But the premise of nuclear nonproliferation has always been you don't need these because the world order is already set around the superpowers and their nukes scaring each other so much that nobody will ever use nuclear weapons. And if anybody ever uses them against you, we'll retaliate on your behalf. That's kind of the premise of global nuclear deterrence. And what he's saying is, well, okay, if Russia can invade a country like Ukraine, why? They don't have nukes, that's why. And they don't have the capacity to respond like a nuclear power would. But in a scary neighborhood, like the former Soviet satellites, maybe a country decides, oh, crap, man. Apparently we do need nukes after all. Apparently South Korea needs them. I mean, South Korea is in the neighborhood, right? Maybe Japan. You say Japan. Yeah, Japan, right? Like, that's the problem, is if these non-nuclear powers start to feel that they don't have a way to thwart being invaded or attacked, and it's usually more invaded than attacked. Because if you have nukes, nobody's going to invade you. When was the last time we invaded North Korea to solve the problems there? We're not going to, right? Why? Because they're a nuclear power. You learn both of these lessons. Nuclear powers don't get invaded. Non-nuclear powers might get invaded, like Ukraine. So he goes on. I said, why is this relevant? I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 looking good. If you're headed southbound on Highway 29 through the Cantonment area, you're going to see some congestion delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Again, going back to Marco Rubio, then senator, speaking after the invasion of Crimea by Russia into Ukraine in 2014.
I think the message this is sending to many nations around the world is perhaps we can no longer count on the security promises made by the free world. Perhaps we need to start looking out for ourselves. And that's why the Ukrainian situation is so much more important than simply what's happening in Europe. This has implications around the world. There are a number of countries around the world now that are considering increasing their defense capabilities, including a nuclear capacity, because they feel threatened by neighbors that have a nuclear capacity themselves. And so far, they've held back on that because they have relied on the United States and our partners to assure them that they don't need these weapons, that we have their back.
The long-standing nuclear global order depended on mutual protection, deterrence, and nuclear nonproliferation. And that was the argument for nonproliferation. That's just a big term to mean that more people getting nuclear weapons. Proliferation is the expanded possession of nuclear weapons, okay? Proliferate just means to expand. Sometimes these terms, they're so familiar within the context of a certain dialogue, I forget, not everybody knows them. I apologize. I'm not trying to make that the case. So he's explaining that, you know, the whole order depends on people believing that this order works for them. And if it stops working for them, they stop obeying it. And they might think, we need nuclear weapons.
But now when something like this happens, these countries see it as further evidence that potentially those sorts of assurances are no longer enough in the 21st century. And it raises the real risk that over the next two decades, you could see an explosion in the number of countries around the world that possess a nuclear weapons capability, because they now feel that they must protect themselves and can no longer rely on other countries to do it for them.
Very significant words in 2014. Here we are in 2025. In a world where, within the Trump administration and because of the Trump administration, the long-settled global order of NATO and the U.S. protecting the world from Russian expansion and or Chinese expansion or threats, or North Korea, or, you know, is now a lot in doubt. Now, whether you think the Trump administration will or won't do what they're supposed to do, the tensions between us and NATO are at historic highs, maybe justified, maybe not. The total giant massive barrier between Russia and China on the one hand and the U.S. on the other hand feels a little weak, you know, the kind of pro-Russia things, the treatment of Ukraine as calling him a dictator and attacking him and kind of seeming to sidle up to some of these dictators like Putin or the premier of China. And the importance of that is not whether you or I, as Americans, believe that the global order is changing. The importance of this is whether the Italians believe it. And whether the South Koreans believe it. And whether the Saudis and the Japanese believe it. Right? That's the question. What do the non-proliferation countries believe about the global order and nuclear protection and the possibility of being invaded or being attacked? Because if they don't believe that the order is stable and that they are safe, now all of a sudden it's not just Iran that thinks they need nuclear weapons. All of a sudden it could be 20 or 30 other countries who could get there within a year. And again, the longstanding premise of nonproliferation has been if fewer people have them, we're all safer. And if all of a sudden, instead of, I mean, what the current count is, I forget, it's like 10 or 15 countries that have nuclear weapons, somewhere in that vicinity. If all of a sudden it's 40, the chances of somebody being dumb or making a mistake go way up. And we don't want that. So there's a really interesting military website that I go to a lot called Defense One. And they're the ones who put out this article the other day where they were talking about how the perception among world leaders is things are not as settled as they once were. And, you know, if Seoul, if the South Koreans start hunting for nuclear weapons, maybe Tokyo launches their hunt for nuclear. And you say, Tokyo, Japan. Well, okay. Tokyo depends on us being an ally against China. And if they see what's happened in Ukraine, or they worry about what might happen when China decides that they want to take back their possession, they think, Taiwan, you start to see a world in which these countries are not trusting the longstanding global order. And then you have nuclear proliferation. And then you have real problems because the risk of actual nuclear war starts to be not just some theoretical thing that we've all learned to deal with, but some actual possibility because, again, more hands with more big, dangerous guns, which is what nukes are, the more chance that bad things could happen. So President Trump and his and listen, I know that Marco Rubio knows this. I know that Michael Waltz knows this. I know that they're not thinking about this. But celebrating disruption, celebrating things, breaking things, moving fast, making change, well, can be really good. But it can also create a kind of instability that makes people behave in ways they haven't thought they needed to behave in for a couple of decades. And that's a concern at this point. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are working on a home improvement project or you build things for a living, you know, wherever you are on this kind of the professionalism scale when it comes to construction, I'm at the zero end. Like, you know, whenever I have to do home repairs, it's a lot of grumbling and murmuring and procrastinating, and then there's a lot of swearing. It's just, you know, that's how I... But if you build things for a living because you like doing that, like if you work in commercial construction, Pensacola Hardware is your place, man. They are your commercial construction supply business. They have it. If they don't have it because it's like it's a special thing that you've got to order because it's the architects or the engineers come up with something particular for whatever you're building, they do that all the time. They order things all the time according to special specifications. They're literally not even afraid of it. They're eager to help you with that stuff. Go talk to them. Ask them. Say, Andrew's always raving about you. What can you do to help me? And they'll tell you. And then you guys can talk, and you won't need a translator because they get your industry. They get your lingo. They know the codes. They know what you're working with, and they know how to solve the problems. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's strength for life.
What is your spiritual blood type? Physically speaking, there are four principal blood types: type A, type B, type AB, and type O. And in case of a physical emergency, it's important that you know what your blood type is. However, in case of a spiritual emergency known as sin, death, and hell, it is important that you know what your spiritual blood type is. The hymn writer famously said, "What can wash away my sins?" The answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood is an atoning blood. It is an incorruptible blood. It is a precious blood, and it is the only blood that God the Father accepts as a sufficient payment for our sin emergency. So are you covered by the blood of Jesus? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Call upon Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
So, happy Wednesday morning. Let's think about nuclear deterrence for a minute. I know, but who's explaining this stuff? Who's thinking about this and, you know, trusting that somebody else should? Well, the obligation in a democracy is that you're supposed to, right? John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're trembling, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, expect about a 7 to 10 minute delay just due to congestion and construction. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, if you are looking for that next home or, you know, maybe thinking about selling yours or both or adding, like maybe a beach house is what you're thinking about. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're just, like, they're really good at this. She sells like 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that, just clicking along 3.5 a week, 3 a week, 3.5, 4 a week. You know, that's just her way. She's been doing this for quite some time. I mean, I knew her back when she was working with the news, but, you know, that kind of trained her in how to listen to people, to think about details, how to gather information, and how to present it, because her job is to be the expert that you can ask questions of. And so, for example, she always says, like, look, if you have a question about real estate, just give me a call. You don't have to be a client. You don't have to sign some contract. You don't necessarily even have to list a house with me. You've got a question. Consider her your expert. You know, what would it cost me to get a house on the beach? I mean, I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't have one. Ask her. She'll tell you. If you're willing to compromise on location or, you know, condition, you can get this. If you want good location and good condition, you're going to have to spend this. She'll tell you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, a person's being questioned after a shooting at the O'Hare Airport in Chicago. This man apparently saw the incident from
his
window.
I heard it sounded like a just rapid fire, like automatic fire. I saw people, I looked out my window, I'm in the hotel right across the way, and I saw people scattering.
And this all happened this morning outside of Terminal 2 there at O'Hare Airport. Police say a group of people got into a fight. Somebody pulled out a weapon and started shooting. One victim was taken to the hospital. The European Union says it's imposing counter tariffs on U.S. goods worth $28 billion. The European Commission says that its current suspension of tariffs on U.S. products ends April 1st. New tariffs will be in place by April 13th. European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen tells reporters that the countermeasures are strong but proportionate.
All right. Yeah, the minor interaction that you might have watched with Canada was, we're going to tariff your stuff at 25%, and then the Canadian's like, well, you know, we sell you electricity. We're going to tariff that. And Trump's like, 50%. And they're like, no, we're good. We're good. You can have the electricity.
It's so bizarre watching all this play out.
It is crazy. Yeah. And again, with that sort of instability problem, now people are watching the markets and they're seeing the markets fall and fall. I still say that a market that's above 40,000, you like, call me when it's 30.
Right. If you look at where it was 4 years ago versus where it is today.
Yeah. I mean, even a significant correction of like 10% would be 4,000 points in a day. Call me when we have a 4,000 point drop day. You know, we're not there yet.
News. I'm Chris Foster. As new steel and aluminum tariffs take effect in the U.S., the European Union retaliates with new tariffs on American products.
Strong but proportionate, says European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. She admits they're bad for business, but European leaders feel they have to respond to the Trump administration levying a 25% tax on imports of steel and aluminum.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. House Republicans passed a short-term spending bill, setting up a fight with Senate Democrats.
Speaker Mike Johnson saying he believes it will also pass in the Senate.
We will continue to stick together and get this job done.
House Democratic Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar.
It gives House Republicans permission to enact their plan to cut Medicaid, to give tax cuts to billionaires.
Adding it does nothing to lower the costs or living expenses for everyday Americans.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got sunshine, beautiful Wednesday morning. It is 54 degrees in Pensacola. Well, job growth here in our local economy is outpacing the rest of the nation, but, well, maybe not the rest of Florida.
We're not quite as fast as the rest of Florida, which has seen population growth and job growth of about 2% a year, but we are faster than the rest of the nation. In terms of both population growth and job growth. And it's been uniform across all the sectors.
Triumph Gulf Coast's economic advisor, Rick Harper, he says there's been a big expansion in leisure and hospitality job sectors with a big growth in tourism across the area. Harper tells News Radio that Escambia and Santa Rosa counties have both seen growth in business services and finance industries as well. Harper says, though, there's not been a lot of movement lately in jobs in manufacturing or the military industries. About 20 young men graduated from the Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons Blazer Academy program last night. Simmons said the idea for this program came partially from when he mentored young men as a coach.
They get into a bit of a bind because no one is helping these kids. And I thought back to those days at practice, and I said, you know what, why don't I duplicate that? Why don't I see if I can get it to where they will have, we'll have their undivided attention? What if we do this unapologetically? What if we talk to them about how to be a better man?
And a ceremony was held at Pensacola's First Baptist Church last night. Each of those graduates received a certificate and a special gift from the sheriff. The celebration then moved over to the Global Grill. The next Blazer Academy class is going to start in a few weeks. That one will be for young women. And that begins again here in just a couple of weeks. Well, we've got some new information on the allegations against a former Santa Rosa County School District employee accused of stealing money from the district's Association of School Administrators. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement says they've charged 57-year-old Kelly Short of Milton with grand theft. She was the treasurer of the Santa Rosa Association of School Administrators. She was also the director of in-service and instructional technology for the school district. She's accused of stealing $3,498. By writing checks to herself and allegedly and sending money to her personal Venmo account. The investigation began following an independent audit that raised concerns about her financial management. Short's been booked into the Santa Rosa jail. That case will be prosecuted by the Office of the State Attorney. Senator Rick Scott is pushing a bill that he says would hold bureaucrats accountable to the American people. Scott announced yesterday that he and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul have reintroduced the Royalty Transparency Act. That would require government employees and anyone on advisory committees to disclose any royalty payments they receive. Scott says the current law allowed Anthony Fauci and others to receive millions in royalty payments from companies that are outside of the federal government without having to report it. He says it raised serious questions about potential conflicts of interest. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents on the books right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10 to 15 minute delay as we're getting congestion delays associated with that. And if you're on 98 eastbound through Windhaven Beach, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see a beautiful day today with temperatures around 72 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, dealing with a chance of some rain, otherwise cloudy skies, 50% chance of rain, high near 71 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Looking a bit nicer on Friday with a few more lingering clouds, high on Friday near 74 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 55 degrees right now in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, 50 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Consumer Price Index for February is forecast to show a monthly increase of 0.3% for a broad array of goods and services. On an annual basis, that would put headline inflation at 2.9%. Data drops in 10 minutes. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports have gone into effect. The European Union said it will impose counter tariffs on roughly $28 billion worth of U.S. goods starting in April in response. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said Trump's move to impose the tariffs was entirely unjustified. Job openings rose at the start of the year, another sign the job market was solid when President Trump returned to the White House. The Labor Department has reported employers posted 7.7 million vacancies in January, which is up from 7.5 million in December. Futures are moderately higher ahead of key inflation data. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 478, the NASDAQ down 32. That's Your Money Now.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us now. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. Hope you're having a good morning.
I am. Do you ever get tired of being called Mr. Mayor, or have you gotten used to it? It seems like that'd be weird in the beginning.
You know, I forget what I'm actually called. I just answer. You know, whoever says anything. You
it
know,
sounds
DC,
vaguely like
Mayor Darcy.
I like it.
You know, I just say it. You know, the worst case scenario is when I'm in Washington, D.C. That's the worst case scenario. You know,
at a D.C. talk concert in Washington, D.C., and people are, you know, it's very confusing
exactly.
for you, I can imagine.
When I'm there, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. So much. Oh, my gosh. The press conference yesterday was chock full of information. Thank you for that. excellent stuff. Yeah. Let's talk real briefly about just one thing because it had come up. The cemetery downtown, I just posted a video last night. I know you're well aware of this situation, that when you're going east on Garden and you're going towards Alkenes, you have that stop sign and then to turn right. And then you have the like bend in the road with the 100,000 potholes you've got to navigate and, you know, then go north on Alkenes. Obviously, recently we had somebody drive right through the stop sign and drive into the cemetery. If you look at the fencing, you can see that it has been damaged many times in the past. Seems like a safety problem. Yep. Seems like, you know, if more signage would help, then more signage would have already helped. It seems like maybe a barrier of some kind. I don't know whether we're talking about those kind of metal rails like you see on the interstate when you're going over a ditch, or somebody had proposed to me, what about the concrete barriers that, like the temporary ones that divide lanes in construction sites, but painted, like had mural work on them, maybe dolphins, maybe the locomotive, maybe something decorative that would actually stop a car but also help save pedestrians in the cemetery. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that intersection or bend in the road, whatever you want to call it, is probably the best microcosm example of the relationship between the state road and the city operations, right? And that's not vilifying FDOT or the state road. They've been great partners with us on so many projects. But I think of it, what bothers me personally is that off-ramp coming south right there, same intersection, and how it looks, you know, in terms of the maintenance, in terms of, because that's the first impression you get when you get off the interstate into our downtown.
Yeah.
So if you've never been there before, you know, that really matters. And I joked during the IHMC groundbreaking or the ribbon cutting for the new building, I said, you know, half the fun of this is that we have something nice, you know, to look at, right, when you get off the interstate is this $40 million building, you know. And so, you know, so there's a, but it's a perfect example of Garden Street and Alkenes at that section is a state road, and how it operates is certainly not a decision that we make. And that being said, you know what I always say, that doesn't mean it's not our problem or that we say, well, then let's not worry about it. But there's always limitations. You know, how much right of way do we have to put a barrier in? There's rules about how much room you need to have, because if you have a sidewalk 2 inches behind a barrier and someone hits the barrier, what good did it do? You know, I mean, if someone is now just pinned under a barrier, hypothetically. So there's other things that I don't understand all the ins and outs of that our public works team does, that we could go look at that. And, you know, concrete barriers from a decor perspective certainly are not ideal.
Well, definitely not great. I would definitely paint it. I mean, I would definitely, it can be decorative, in which case it becomes an amenity instead of a problem. But yeah, you know, concrete's not my favorite solution either.
And listen, I would say the example that we've corrected since I've been in that's the most similar to this is right there where Fairfield becomes 12th Avenue, right there at that bend we had. But that's a little different because it's kind of the back fence of houses, and it's not really a pedestrian necessarily a big pedestrian traffic area. So there's lots of things in the gumbo here to try to make that work.
Okay.
But certainly, I do not deny the need to look at that, and certainly you know we'll take a hard look because we just had that other episode, as you just mentioned,
right?
It happened yet again recently.
And of course, we all want to make sure and protect the historical cemetery. I mean, there's all these, you know,
of course,
we could find a solution, and as you say, even though it's not your baby, you know, maybe there's a way to help make the baby safer. You know, you can't control Graffiti Bridge, but maybe we can make the thing a little bit safer for people. You got the resident satisfaction survey came out. Very big positive number, 70% happy. Anything in there that really surprised you?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
You know, obviously, you know, there'll be different numbers that are good, you know, better than you think in terms of approval, worse than you think in terms of department by department. But, you know, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, I'm pleased that 70% of the citizens feel like we're going in the right direction, which really tells you two things. One, you know, that certainly instills confidence in us that we're trying to do the right thing here and that people notice that. And two, it's why you don't take echo chamber poll surveys off of Facebook on particular topics, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, there's lots of silent majority residents out there that appreciate being the number four state, the city. I mean, if you saw our we had like a 97% and a 79% favorability for fire and police, which is incredibly great. And that right. is not the case in many cities, I can tell you, across the country when I talk to mayors across the country. So feeling safe, you know, feeling like we're going the right direction isn't always measured in social media. It's measured in, you know, in living rooms and kitchens all around the city. And so that certainly instilled some confidence in us that whether you agree or disagree with every tactic we have, that our citizens feel like we're doing the right thing. And so so we were definitely pleased with that overall.
No, I agree. And it's, you know, the few loud people who are angry and motivated show up to city council, and it's easy to think that that's 50,000 people, and it's not. And, you know, the few
right.
Loud, obnoxious, worked-up people who troll on Facebook, it's easy to think that that's everybody, and it's not. I loved, by the way, we'll talk about this in a second a little bit, I loved yesterday the Facebook post about the guy who was complaining about the red light cameras. And then everybody basically came to your defense, and you're like, hey, thanks for posting an example of why we have them. And people celebrated. That made my day, because it's such a common sense answer to what, you know, again, a few loud people who are opposed to them have kind of made, you know, the perception is that everybody hates them. Anyway, we'll come back to that in a second. D.C. Reeves is on the line with us. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident to let you know about. If you're traveling west on Detroit Boulevard right around Shaw Avenue, we do have an accident with the turning lane blocked on that one. First responders are on their way to that scene. Other than that, we're rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Speaking of yesterday's press conference and some of the questions that are in your satisfaction survey, the idea of having a resident parking pass, and I know in advance, asterisk, nothing is final yet. Here's what I'm wondering. The argument seems to be city residents are already paying property taxes, which go to infrastructure. Therefore, city residents should get some kind of a benefit on parking, whether that's free parking, whether it's all the time, whether it's a day or a night, whether it's a share discount like 50 cents an hour instead of a buck an hour, whether you buy a discount like you spend 10 bucks, you get 40 bucks in credit, whatever it is. OK, any shape of that seems to me to run contrary to the stated purpose of having paid parking, which is to get spaces to turn over, because if you make parking free for people, they don't turn over spaces. If you make parking cheaper for people, they don't turn over spaces. Help me understand how I'm misunderstanding this.
Yeah, and listen, you're absolutely right, and that still is the case. It's about supply and demand, and you heard me say in the press conference, that's why there's more nuance. Let's use a common example. Let's talk about a gym membership. If we went to every citizen and said, hey, there's an $80 gym membership a month and everyone can have one for free if they're a city resident, we're going to have a bunch of people sign up for it, probably mm-hmm. all 20,800 households, right? But if we say it's $30 a month or $20, and we don't know what that number is yet, but
gotcha.
then you start to limit to the people who, number one, are already parking and are part of that inventory count, so to speak, anyway, meaning they're working downtown. So, you know, it's still, that's why there has to be a cost, not because that money is going to be very consequential in the grand scheme of the parking application, but you just have to be able to delineate between, to your point, where you're not trying to flood the area. But you've hit on some of these things already. That's why we're looking at day or night. Do we look at certain zones? It might just be, hey, none of the permits work on Palo Fox Street, for example, but they do on Jefferson, or they do on Balin, or both. You know, that's what we're trying to look at, because this point allows me to point out the biggest misperception, excuse me, of all, which is that we have all of these paid spaces. Well, case in point, we have so few paid spaces that we have to be careful about saying, okay, you know, here are these permits. But again, what people forget, and you know, the quick tax lesson is, what people forget is, if you don't live in the city or you don't own property in the city, then whether you eat at 9 Mile Road or at the beach or downtown, from a tax standpoint, we want you to support our businesses. We got an awesome downtown, no doubt about it. But from a pure tax standpoint, it does not matter where you eat or drink in Escambia County. The city receives the pro rata share of the population. So we receive 1/7, 1/6 of the LOST tax for infrastructure, regardless of where you spend your money in the county. And so that's why when people say I spend my tax dollars, I live in Cantonment or I live on the beach, that is not necessarily the case. But it is the case for our city residents. They are paying city taxes and they are, you know, helping with our infrastructure. So we do need to do something about that. But to your point, that's the balance we need to find, is making sure. And sorry, one other thing. Remember, 85% of the people parking in this using parking transactions downtown do not live in the city. So we got to keep that in context as well. Is that it, right now it is a very small sliver of the overall model of people that actually do live in the city.
And I take all of that. I understand that it's a balancing act, and I know you don't have the details just yet. It just that seemed to me kind of the thrust had been, let's raise the price and the number of places where it goes from being free to being paid in order to facilitate turnover in the parking. And now we're going the other way as a fair giveaway to residents who are paying, but they work in tension with each other. That's all I wanted to bring up.
But that presumes that that those people still paying, even if it's a lower amount, still paying for a parking pass every month, are now who were never parking downtown, were not part of the parking load, so to speak,
right.
Are now going to be, and so that's why if we hit it right, what we're really doing is we're hitting the people who are already paying, the local residents that are already paying to be downtown, they work downtown, whatever, and trying to give them a little relief since they are helping us with our infrastructure. So we're in agreement. It's about finding that sweet spot of that we're not trying to increase the load, because that is why we're doing this.
Right.
But trying to help out and give some relief to the people who are already using downtown to begin with.
On the red light cameras, question came up yesterday about, well, we haven't seen any reduction in red light running. In fact, it's gone up, or it's, held steady or whatever. Of course, and I appreciate your answer, which I totally agree with, which is catch me in a year. Give it some time to work and let's see what we discourage or not. But I have a sort of a second level question, which is we're not so much trying to stop red light running as much as we're trying to stop crashes. And so to me, the real metric is not going to be, do we reduce infractions? The real question is going to be, at those intersections, if we look over history, have we reduced crashes? Because that's going to be the real test, right?
That's right. And that's, we're not, that's why, of course, we're going to monitor that as we go forward. But you talk about a lack of sample size. I already believe on 2,300 tickets in 1 month is a lack of sample size. Who knows what comes back next month? Is it 1,500? Is it 3,000?
Right.
It's way too early. And I would exponentially increase that warning if we were to look at crashes in 1 month, right? Because of a couple things. Number one, there's this theory out there that if you have red light cameras that now it creates more fender benders, which, number one, we've talked about many times. I'd rather have that than a T-bone. But also it might be that you aren't following normal driving rules as well. I've looked at data, how I am, and there can be a temporary, that's the difference. Some people think it's permanent. There can be a temporary blip because it's just new, right?
Right.
Someone overreacts or someone's not paying as close attention. But all the data I've seen, and robust amount of data that I've seen as we looked into this, was that levels off and flattens out and decreases after a short period of time. So to me, even if we went to that, I'd have to look, even if we went to that intersection and there were zero crashes at all of them, I would never come out to a podium and say, hey, look, mission accomplished. There's been zero crashes, because it's just too early to say. I mean, who's to know that in a matter of a month? But to your point, absolutely. At the end of the day, this is why we're doing it. And I've said that since the beginning on this show and at the podium, I've said if this doesn't decrease crashes, if we have more crashes or more injuries or more deaths somehow, then there's no reason to do this.
Right,
so,
that's the ultimate metric.
But we're not
going
to make that decision after a month or two.
No, I completely agree. Before we do the frivolous lightning round, I did want to just kudos. Oh, my God, 311 had a 2,000-ticket backlog, and now 2 years into your administration, you've got that down to being 50 to 80 open tickets at a time. I mean, amen, brother. that's extraordinarily well done, both to you and your team. So I don't want to let that go without mentioning it, because that is a huge accomplishment. That's fantastic. All right. We always like to end with the lightning round, where I ask you some, quick frivolous questions. At what distance do you start thinking it's better to fly than to drive? How far away for DC, who flies a lot? And of course, Semi owns the airport. I mean, not you personally, but you're the mayor, when do you start flying as opposed to driving? What distance?
You know what? I've had this conversation so many times in the last 2 weeks, because I just flew to Tampa. And to me, that's the line.
Tampa,
where you have to go to Atlanta. You have to go to Atlanta and then down to Tampa. And by the way, a little birdie told me we might be doubling our jet service direct to Tampa on Breeze coming up this summer. But from two times a week to four times a week. But I would say it's about 7 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. So, for example, I don't connect in Atlanta to go to Jacksonville. You know, like that's 5 hours. You know, that's not, that doesn't make any sense. I think seven with a connection is the minimum I'll do. You know, and I don't know. I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but
that's where you're at. Okay. Yeah, all right. I get it. Yeah. Are you a napper? Do you nap during the day routinely? Sometimes, never? If so, how long?
Oh man, no, not anymore. not, you know, I used to be able to sneak one in. But I mean, gosh, once a year, maybe.
Oh, wow. All right.
You know, I mean, yeah, once every 6 months.
He's an anti-napper. All right. Because of convenience or your job, you can't get away with it or like.
I think, you know, I'm in this job, it's like, I feel guilty if I'm you know, for an hour on the couch. My brain's always working, you know,
it's
like, man, what's going wrong? What do we need to be doing?
So, hey, you need to sharpen the sword, man. You need to, go play some golf, go play some tennis. It'll be okay. The city will go on without you.
Yeah,
exactly. Last one is a hoodie or regular sweatshirt or sweater. If you're weird, hoodie or sweatshirt.
You know what? I change it up. I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now. But yeah, I would say
no hand warmers.
Probably hoodie for the most part. Hoodie for the most part.
For the hood or for the hand warmers?
I don't even use the hood that much. I think the hand warmers. That's why we live in Florida, Andrew.
That's
we don't need that hood that often.
100% with you. Nobody puts the hood up. I love that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure. Yeah. Sir, we look forward to city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for your time. It's okay to take a nap once in a while. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on Detroit Boulevard and Shaw Avenue. They've moved it off to the side of the road, so the turning lane's not blocked, but I'm still seeing some delays in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. We're experiencing about a 15 to 18 minute delay. So pack your patience with that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hope. It is the only thing stronger than fear.
You almost hate to quote Snow, but, you know, it's a good line. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Department of Education losing over 1,300 employees. An email went out yesterday notifying all the employees they had to vacate the headquarters by 6 p.m. that night. They say the closure was for security reasons. Of course, reports have been that President Trump is preparing an executive order to dissolve the department.
This comes as a complete surprise to anybody who has not paid any attention for the last year.